believe it or not. Program starring Robert L. Ripley with B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra and lovely Linda Lee, presented by Post 40% Bran Flakes, the largest selling Bran Flakes cereal in the world. Post Bran Flakes, made by the same people who make Huskies, have a wonderful nut-like flavor. What's more, Post Bran Flakes, eaten daily, bring you extra benefits by providing bulk food in your diet. And adequate bulk is essential for keeping fit. At your next breakfast, join the millions who help keep fit with delicious Post Bran Flakes. And here's that lucid, liberal, legendary laird of literal, logical, legitimate ledger domain, believe it or not, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to our program tonight.
Good evening, Bob Ripley. I know a secret.
You seem very happy tonight. But I'll bet you can't give me the answer to last week's Believe It or Not.
Oh, I can't I?
No.
Will you listen to me, Bob Ripley? Last week you asked me, where can a child be born one day and be 2 years old the next?
Well...
Believe it or not, I know. The answer is, in China.
Yes.
You see, most Chinese children are born in China. It's an old Chinese custom.
So it is.
And over there, the day a child is born, it is regarded as being 1 year old.
That's right.
And a year is added for every New Year's Day.
Right again.
Therefore, every child born on the Chinese New Year's Eve is 2 years old the next day. It's elementary, Mr. Ripley, elementary.
Why, Linda, you amaze me. How'd you find this out?
I'll tell you later in the program, Bob Ripley.
Oh, I see. You're turning the tables on me, are you?
How do you feel, Mr. Ripley?
Well, I'll feel better if B.A. would start playing. Okay, B.A. Search for a new Believe It or Not, I have come across some amazing examples of extravagance. But in all the history of the world, there's nothing that equals in sheer extravagance the subject of my drama tonight. The time is 1873. The scene, the dressing room of the great prima donna Hortense Schneider of the Opera Comique in Paris. A distinguished visitor is listening to her as she sings the latest song of that day, None But the Lonely Heart.
But the lonely heart can know my sadness.
None but the lonely heart. Ah, Hortense, I could listen to that song forever. And especially when you sing it to me.
It is always a pleasure to sing for the Viceroy of Egypt.
Darling, I have news for you. I am no longer just Viceroy. I bought the title of KD from the Sultan of Turkey for £500,000.
Oh, Ishmael, £500,000 for a title. you are such a spendthrift.
My lovely one, you know why I did it. I wanted this new title to be yours. When will you marry me?
Marry you? Oh, I cannot, Ishmael. I do love you, but I will not give up my career here in Paris to be just another lady in your harem. No, it would be better if you forget me.
I cannot forget you. I cannot. Hortense, I am leaving for Egypt tonight, but I will never give up. I will never stop hoping that someday you will be my queen. Then you will be able to sing to me forever.
Your Highness, the Minister of Finance, Kamal Pasha, requests to see you.
Show him in.
Your Highness, Your Highness, I am so glad that you have returned to Egypt. I have bad news.
Yes? What is it?
The Bank of Paris has drawn upon our treasury for 500,000 pounds.
What of it?
I am sorry to say, we have no money in the treasury to pay it.
No money?
Will your highness forgive me if I be very outspoken?
Proceed.
You are not, shall I say, very economical.
Huh?
Forgive me, your highness. I have a list here showing how improvident your highness has been. Now, let us see. 6 million pounds for 3 castles built in the desert for Madame...
You can be quite frank. You mean for Madame Schneider?
Yes, your highness. Then you spent 500,000 pounds for the title of Khedive. 125,000 pounds... paid for an opera, especially written for you.
But, Kamal, why bother me with these tedious details? Can't we raise money? We always did.
French banks have definitely turned us down. Our only hope is that the British, they have money.
Then we must get to the British as soon as possible. I must leave for Paris tomorrow. I have an appointment with Madame Schneider, which I will not break.
Very well, Your Highness. I will have the British minister come here immediately.
Your Highness, General Stanton, the British Minister, and Kamal Pasha.
Show them in.
Ah, Katie. Your Highness.
How do you do, General Stanton? You know, of course, why we have sent for you.
I think I do, Your Highness. You'll find in all Egypt no more devoted friends than the British legation.
You know our problem. We need 500,000 pounds. The need is pressing.
Well, my government will be extremely anxious to help. But we shall require security before we can extend a loan of this magnitude.
There should be no trouble about that.
Yeah, but there is, Your Highness. We have made careful inquiries, and we find that all the resources of Egypt have been pledged.
I see. You must have security. Well, I must have that money. Wait a minute. Would you accept my controlling interest in the Suez Canal?
But, Your Highness, the Suez Canal costs you 16 million pounds.
If Your Highness would be willing to sell England the Suez Canal...
How much are you prepared to pay?
About, 4 million pounds.
But, Your Highness, you cannot do this.
General Stanton, I accept. Bring me the papers this evening and I will sign them. And tomorrow I leave for Paris and Madame Schneider, who will sing for me None But the Lonely Heart.
And so, England bought control of the Suez Canal for £4 million, or about $20 million, and forged the final link of her lifeline that holds the British Empire together. But Ishmael, what of him? He lost his fortune, he lost his throne, he lost everything he had, he lost the hand of Hortense Schneider, although he squandered this great fortune of $500 million on the lovely prima donna and her song, None But the Lonely Heart. And as for Hortense Schneider herself, well, After the most costly romance in history, she died penniless and forgotten in the Latin Quarter of Paris in 1920, just 18 years ago. Believe it or not.
D.A. Ralph and his orchestra and Make Believe. Linda Lee sings.
Thanks for the memory of rainy afternoons, swingy Harlem tunes, and motor trips and burning lips and burning toast and coons. How lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of candlelight and wine, castles on the Rhine, the Parthenon and moments on the Hudson River line. How lovely it was. Many's the time that we keep safe, and many's the time that we fasted. Oh, well, it was swell while it lasted. We did have fun, and no harm done. So thanks for the memory, put strictly on to you. Darling, how are you? And how are all the little dreams that never did come true? Awfully glad I met you. Cheerio and kudaloo. And thank you.
Don't hold everything. Flakes are the original Bran Flake cereal.
Why, Ford, you're not telling me anything new. Why, way back in 1924, when they first came out, I tried them, and they've been one of my favorite breakfast cereals ever since.
Well, Bob Ripley, there are lots of folks who can join you on that. Because for years, delicious Post Bran Flakes have been the favorite Bran Flakes of the world, enjoyed by more people than any other. These golden brown Post Bran Flakes have a mellow, distinctive flavor that is sweet as a nut, tempting and delicious, with a crunchy, appetizing goodness that children and adults enjoy from the very first taste. And those of you who eat Post Bran Flakes appreciate the bran this fine cereal provides in the diet, because you all know the benefits of bran. Since the dawn of history, bran has played an important part in the diet of every civilization. And now Post Bran Flakes give you bran in its most delicious, modern form. Eaten daily, Post Bran Flakes help supply bulk food many diets lack. And that's important, because adequate bulk is necessary for keeping fit. So first thing, ask your grocer for Post Bran Flakes, the delicious cereal that helps millions keep fit. And now,
I have frequently been asked, what is the grandest sight I've ever seen in my travels through nearly 200 countries? Well, I've seen most of them. I've seen Mount Everest in the Himalayas, Victoria Falls in Africa,
the inland sea of Japan, the harbor of Rio de Janeiro, the Boca of Kotor in Yugoslavia, Repulse Bay in Hong Kong, China.
But which is the grandest?
Linda, it's right here in our own country. I'm certain that the most impressive and magnificent sight on the face of the earth is in our own country, and it's the Grand Canyon of the Colorado. The Grand Canyon at sunset is the most glorious sight that the eyes of man can behold, or that was ever created by the hands of God.
I'd love to see that.
Well, you don't have to go way out there to see it, Linda. Just take an elevator. Believe it or not, Linda, New York City, when seen from the top of Radio City, right where we are now, in this very same building, when day is done and darkness falls, and the lights of the city, like millions of gems, begin to sparkle. Well, Linda, there's nowhere in the world that they can offer such a glorious sight. Our own country is the most wonderful and beautiful of all. The Yosemite Valley, out in my home state, there's a cliff that is four times higher and grander than Gibraltar, a waterfall that is five times as high as Victoria Falls in Africa. In the northwest, there's Mount Rainier, where... Why, it's so beautiful that in the olden days, the Indians were forbidden to look at it in the morning sun. There's a great salt lake, six times as salty as the ocean, Lake Superior, a lake so large that into it could be thrown the entire countries of Ireland and Wales, the Mammoth Cave of Kentucky, Yellowstone Park with its geysers and prismatic lakes, a thousand times more beautiful than the Brugato of Capri. America, indeed, is the most beautiful country in the world. And now I'd like to take you to one of the strangest wonders of the world, and it's right here in our own country, too. It's in New Straitsville, Ohio, a small coal mining town of 1,500 people. Beneath that town, there's a giant dragon of fire living in the heart of the earth. It's a burning coal mine that has been burning constantly for the last 54 years and has destroyed $50 million worth of coal. The entire countryside smokes constantly. The people there dig hot potatoes out of the ground. Hot water is drawn from their cisterns. And when it rains, the whole valley is one dense cloud of steam. At the present time, firefighters are waging a desperate battle to prevent this fire from spreading to the billion-dollar coal deposit surrounding it. Now, I'd like to take you to the actual scene of that fire. Tom Manning, well-known NBC announcer, is at the burning mine right now with a portable microphone and will give you a graphic word picture of the most fantastic fire raging in the world today. Take it away, Ohio and Tom Manning.
Thank you, Bob Ripley, and good evening, everybody. Right now, I am standing on a high hill near New Straitsville, Ohio, 60 miles southwest of Columbus. And right under my feet, there burns an intense fire and a partially mined bed of coal nearly 80 feet underground. Close by is a long crevice caused by the intense heat of the ground. If I put my hand down into this crevice, which I'm not going to do, it has the same effect as if I put my hand into a blast furnace. The ground is positively hot, and from open pits all around me, steam and smoke are pouring forth. Off to my right, gleaming against the black sky of the night, there are five separate and distinct caverns, belching flame and smoke into the air. This fire, as Bob Ripley has told you, has been burning continuously for 54 years. In many places throughout this area of almost 25 square miles, the earth has opened up, and as the coal has burned away, many parts of the surface of the earth have fallen and created deep pits which look like miniature volcanic craters. All around us are trees which have toppled over after the roots were burned and baked away. On our way to this microphone location, we passed a house. The man there told us the ground was so hot that chickens roosted in the trees. The pigs were driven out of their pens, taking to the lowlands where there was no fire. A woman told us the ground was cooking her vegetables before they finished growing. How can this blazing underground inferno be controlled? What is being done to stop further damage to one of the world's richest coal areas? Well, tonight, I have with me a group of coal miners and also the chief engineer of the WPA firefighting project. His name is James R. Cavanaugh. He has conquered more coal mine fires than any other man living. Jim Cavanaugh was employed by the United States Bureau of Mines for several years as a rescue foreman. And he was an instructor at Penn State College in mine rescue work. Jim, awful good to have you with us again tonight. How many men are there working in this coal mine fire at the present time?
We have a force of 350 miners, Tom, who have been working on this project for nearly 2 years.
This may be a silly question, but how hot would you say this fire is?
That
is,
well,
Fahrenheit, I mean.
Within 36 inches of your feet right now, the temperature is above 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Over this way a bit, Tom.
All right.
But watch your step. I'd hate to have to pull you out of one of these crevices.
Don't you worry about that, Jim. I'll watch out. If I did fall in there, and you did succeed in getting me out, well, it'd just be another believe it or not for Bob Ripley. Say, how expensive, by the way, to our nation do you think this fire has been?
Well, no one can ever know exactly, not even Bob Ripley. But my guess is that over $50 million of high-grade coal has been burned. Several million dollars have been spent trying to fight the fire.
Well, Jim, your job is to try and put this fire out, isn't it?
Yes and no, Tom. Our job is to localize the fire and to keep it from spreading. This is done by tunneling through the coal at certain points to cut off the fire, and then to fill the tunnel with barriers of clay and brick. I believe our work will be successful in keeping the fire from spreading, but it may burn for another 100 years in the present area.
By walling in the fire, then, I believe Bob Ripley would agree with me that you have created the biggest fireplace in the world. Now, about these few houses on the hill, are they still occupied, Jim?
No, Tom. There are only a couple of families still here. Most of them have been driven out by gas fumes. You see, the intense heat makes farming impossible. And the livestock do not like hot feet. These people who still live on these hills are ready to evacuate in a moment's notice.
This is a very treacherous thing here, this coal mine fire in Straitsville. And it's something that many of you will never have the opportunity to see. But tonight, on the Bob Ripley program, NBC's microphone is going to be lowered down into that blasting inferno so that you of the radio audience might get the thrill of hearing the mine fire at Straitsville, Ohio. Fire away, engineers. Let the mic down. Well, Jim Cavanaugh has just signaled to me that it's about time for us to get out of this section. We've been in the midst of this smoke and carbon dioxide fumes of the fire for about 30 minutes, and the safety engineers say it's not healthy to stay much longer. We are all equipped with gas masks if the flames get too deadly, but we can't put them on and still talk into a microphone. Thank you, Jim Cavanaugh and Bob Daly, and the engineers who have worked so nobly, Eddie Leonard and Al McMahon. And so from this wooded scene, with the miners' lamps on our caps as the only illumination, except occasional spurts of flame from the earth, and with smoke and gas belching from the crevices and craters all over this countryside, this is Tom Manning saying goodnight from the world's greatest coal mine fire, raging in New Straitsville, Ohio. Take it away, Bob Ripley.
Thank you, Tom Manning. And thank you, James Cavanaugh. And may you be successful in the battle you're waging against that fire in the burning coal mine. Ladies and gentlemen, we have just presented a broadcast from the burning mine under the town of New Straitsville, Ohio, which has been burning for 54 years and which has destroyed more than $50 million worth of coal. And unless these men are successful, it may burn forever. Believe it or not.
There's a crazy new novelty tune sweeping the country, and lovely Linda Lee goes slightly gaga with Dipsy Doodle.
The Dipsy Doodle's a thing to beware. The Dipsy Doodle will get in your hair. And if it gets you, it couldn't be worse. The things you say will come out in reverse, like you love I and me love you. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works. The Dipsy Doodle is easy to find. It's almost always in back of your mind. You never know it until it's too late. And then you're in such a terrible state, like the moon jumps over the cow. Hey, Diddle. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works. When you think that you're crazy, you're a victim of the Dipsy Doodle. But it's not your mind that's hazy. It's your tongue that's at fault, not your noodle. You better listen and try to be good, and try to do all the things that you should. The dipsy-doodle will get you someday. You'll think you're crazy, the things that you say, like rhythm, God, I am, hot am I. That's the way the dipsy-doodle works. When you think you're crazy, dipsy-doodle's got you. When your mind is hazy, da-da-da-da-da-da, boom. You better listen and try to be good, and try to do all the things that you should. The dipsy-doodle will get you someday. You'll sound crazy, the things you say. Oh, dipsy, oh, doodle, oh, doodle, oh, dipsy, oh, naggy, oh, saggy, oh, Ripley, oh, B.A. Roth, oh, NBC, oh, Saturday Night, oh, Ford Bond, oh, Post Brand Flakes, oh!
Having traveled through 200 countries
Why,
in your
Linda,
search of, believe it or not.
You shouldn't envy me. As a matter of fact, I would like to extend an invitation to our listeners to write me about any natural, believe it or not, wonders in this country, that is, near their own town or community. And maybe some night we'll have a remote control pickup from your part of the country, just as we did the burning mine tonight.
Oh, say, that sounds like a marvelous idea. Sort of see America first with Bob Ripley.
And now I'd like to present the believe it or not wonder of our program. It's Ford Bond.
Folks, when so many people tell us they prefer Post Brand Flakes, then surely this fine cereal must be good to be so popular. And Post Brand Flakes are good. These light, crunchy, golden brown flakes have a delicious flavor, a flavor that's sweet and mellow as a nut, full of an appetizing goodness that your entire family will enjoy these brisk February mornings. And in addition to their fine flavor, Post Brand Flakes bring you extra benefits that may help to keep you in trim. These wonderful flakes, eaten daily, help supply bulk food many diets lack. And adequate bulk is necessary for keeping fit. So give your family this finer, ready-to-eat cereal. First thing, ask your grocer for Post Brand Flakes, the delicious cereal that helps millions keep fit.
You really beat me to the punch with your answer to my problem, believe it or not, of last week, you know. How did you find out?
I have a Chinese laundryman, and he explained it to me.
Oh, I see, a laundryman, huh? Well, now, here's another one for you. Tell me, in what country do 6 million men have the same name?
You mean to tell me that there's a country where all the men have the same name?
That's it, Linda. 6 million of them with the same name.
Gee, suppose you wanted to call one of them, they'd all answer.
Well, if you'll promise now to stay away from the laundrymen, I'll give you the answer next week. When Ishmael of Egypt died, they found among his papers a note of farewell addressed to his loved one, Hortense Schneider, which he had never mailed. I would like to read it to you now. It read, "Farewell. May tears be strange to your eyes. May laughter dwell on your lips and joy smooth your forehead. May good health plant roses in your cheeks. And the song of children keep you eternally youthful." Believe it.
This is Ford Bond saying good night and keep fit for the makers of Post Brand Flakes.
Keep tuned in, folks. In a few seconds over most of these stations, you'll hear that cut-up of comedy, Jack Haley. This is the National Broadcasting Company.